take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go! It's the two-time Stellar Award considered, Spin Award nominated. You're listening to The Voice.
To The Voice.
The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
Hey, what's good, family? This is Joe Pia, and you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Walk with me, family. Let's go!
Great day, everyone. This is Dolores Williams, and I want to personally invite you to Divine Connections Magazine 11th Anniversary Expo, Saturday, September 11th at Beyond Measure Ministries, 904 East Main Street in Hall River, North Carolina, from 12 to 5. Gospel groups, praise dance, vendors, fashion show, mime, food trucks will be there, and our special guest will be featured, Titus Little Blair and the Fantastic Violinaires from Detroit, Michigan. Get your ticket now, only $12, divineconnectionsmagazine.com/event. See you there.
See you there. See
you there.
What's good, radio family? TPV Radio is just getting hotter, and we have an all-star lineup just for you. Mondays, Conversations with Joe and Jay at 7:30 a.m. Tuesdays, Victory Over the Waste of Life with author Deanne Lebrine at 6 p.m. Wednesdays, Illuminating Word Ministry with Dr. Apostle Forrest L. Walker Sr. at 5 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sago at 4:30 p.m. Also, Dorothy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Fridays, the exclusive interview with yours truly, the Psalmist Voice, by appointment only. Saturdays is Saturday's Refet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones at 11 a.m., followed by The Locker Room with Coach D at 4 p.m. Sundays, TPV Reloaded at 2 p.m. with The Familia. Catch all of TPV Radio programming on Facebook Live at TPV Radio. Also, Live 365, tune in, and all of our podcasts, social media platforms. Walk with us in relationship, purpose, and promise. And let's go!
You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network.
Yo, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy, Titus Showers, and you are listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network with the one and only D. Psalmist as the amazing host. And I advise you to walk with me, my family. Let's go. It's your boy. God bless you.
The Spin Award nominated Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now on TPV Radio.
I don't want a form of godliness. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. And I don't want to give him second best. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. Yeah.
I don't want a form of God.
I want God.
I want God.
All I ever wanna live like him. Treat everybody right. And I wanna look like him. Precious in his sight. Help me to love. Forgive.
Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now on TPV Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. What did the songwriter say? She said, I want God. Amen. Well, I got something different to say than that songwriter. I got God. Amen, amen, amen. I thank God for a made-up mind to walk upright before the Almighty God. I thank God that he's my Lord and he's my Savior. I thank God that he opened up my blinded eyes and allowed me to see. I thank God that he gave me a mind to serve the true and living God. I serve that other God. He doesn't have any friends or benefits over there on his plan. But his plan is always to bring death, destruction, and darkness into my life. But I thank God that now I serve the God of more than enough. I was always short when I was on that other side. I was riding a short bus on that other side. But I get to own the bus company on this side. Amen, amen, amen. Good afternoon to all of our listeners this afternoon. Good afternoon to our panel. Hello, Sister Tracy from North Carolina. How would you be today?
Good morning and good afternoon to you all. All is well in sunny Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Amen. Well, we got old traveler online today. Ain't no telling what state she in. As far as yesterday she was in New Orleans. Where are you at today, Sister Roberta?
I'm in Hammond. Good morning.
Hammond ain't gonna never be the same. The queen is in town, everybody. So if you're listening from Hammond and you notice the sun is a little brighter and the weather is a little milder, it's because the queen has graced your city in Hammond, Louisiana. Tiana had some things to do on today, so she wasn't able to come. So, Pastor Chris, you got to hold Colleen, Texas, down. Are you behaving yourself out there?
Nope. We're not, but we're ready to get it in.
All right. Well, South Carolina is hot today, but yesterday was a index was 104. The day before, 106. It's a mild 86 last time I checked today. So we're holding it down in South Carolina. And, girls, today we want to talk about love again. But you know what? There are some things that attack our love. And one of those things that attack our love is bitterness. I began to ponder love and where else could we go talking about love where we've talked about what love is. Maybe we need to draw attention to what love is not and how love does not behave. I've been one of those people who have operated in bitterness, and I've been one of those people who've operated in the painful side of what I thought was love, which turned out it was nothing but lust. But I had that painful side where I became afraid to release my love. So we look at Mark 11 and begin at the 24th verse. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. And we desire a lot, especially we as women. We want a lot for our lives. But one of the main things that we really do want when our heart is in the right place is that we serve God in an upright position. And not only do we serve him, but we go about our family to evangelize our family members. We don't want our family to die and go to hell. So we begin to try and exemplify a good Christian life before them. Amen. And so then it says, when you pray, and you know, when you find yourself in a place where I am right now, where my kids look like they're taking dumb pills and my grandkids look like they're taking lazy pills, and when you even find yourself in a position where your neighbors look like they taking Haterade, is that what that stuff they drank? Yeah. They taking that, and so you got all this opposition. That's all I'm trying to say. But you got all this opposition all around you. And my niece works, my sister and I, we don't work, but my niece works. And so when you have these jobs and people come to work to try to figure out how not to work. Now, how they do that? Where they do that at? You come to work to figure out how not to do your job. And so as people on job, it's chaotic on the job. So it says, when you pray, believe that you're going to receive. Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So when we're praying, we have to operate in faith. We have to believe that what we're praying for, we're going to get it. Now, when you're praying, talking about love, when you're praying and you're operating and walking in the love that God has given us, that's a whole issue all by itself. But then you have to try and believe. Why does it say we need to believe, saints of God? Because there are going to be some things that are going to come against what we're operating and trying to do in God. And that's called opposition. And we have to learn how to persevere. And verse 25 says, and when ye stand praying, this is it, Sister Tracy, Sister Roberta, and Pastor Chris. When we stand praying, we don't mind praying, but this other part, but I'm getting ready to tell you now, we sometimes have issues doing it because we feel justified in where we are. It says,
forgive. Forgive. Little words, but a big thing has to go on. Forgiving someone that has done you something is not an easy thing to do, but it is not impossible. Sister Teresa, before I even try to finish this scripture, would you like to elaborate on being done wrong in the workplace, in the home, in the neighborhood, at the grocery store, in the gas line, when you've been done wrong and you've got to now pray? But God says, before you do the praying tree, forgive. Not an easy thing. Want to speak on that for me today?
Lord have mercy.
It's a setup on the cat, ain't it, Sister Teresa?
The grease is hot and the fish is ready to go in. Let me tell you.
Lord Jesus, a hot fried fish. Come on here, girl, and fry that fish for me.
It's so crazy because I am going through this right now. 2 weeks ago, there was something that happened on my job, and people that I thought we were okay, you know, worked with them all the time. I thought we were okay. But they chose to gather together to come against me and what I was doing in my position.
Oh.
So instantly, it's so amazing because God told me the attack was coming. I was sitting in my office about 2 weeks prior to that, and God told me the attack was coming. And I began to pray in the spirit, speaking in tongues, and I started rejoicing in advance. You know how we talked about a couple weeks ago that the victory was already ours? So how God, you're sitting here talking about something on the radio, and then God says, well, let's see if you can not only talk about it, but let's see if you can walk through it, if you can walk in it, if you can do the very thing that you're telling other people to do. So I had to stand on the words that I'm speaking on every day. So what I did was I began to call their names out, and I said, Lord, forgive them.
Wow.
Lord, you forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. See, they don't know how special I am to you. They don't know that you favor me. They don't know that your hands of protection are around me. So, Lord, you forgive them. And some of these people are, you know, they name the name of Christ and are supposed to be saints. And I had to stand on the very thing that I was talking about. So it's so interesting because right after, you know how somebody does something to you and they feel convicted and you know, and guilty, but instead of coming forth and saying, look, I'm sorry, I did this or I said this or whatever, they kind of reach out to you to test your temperature, to see where you
are,
to see how you are going to respond. And guess what? I responded in love. I acted as if what they said had never taken place. Because no matter what ought you speak against me, I have a God that I have to answer to. I'm not going to be held accountable for what you did and what you said. Oh, but I will be held accountable for how I reacted and what went into my spirit and how I responded to what you did. So instantly, God gave me a peace. It's like I felt his arms around me. He gave me a peace, and he told me, don't worry about it. I got this. I called on my prayer partners. They said, don't worry about it. God has this. You're not even going to have to say a word. All you're going to have to do is continue to walk because the battle is already fought. So I felt secure in the very thing that I've been telling everyone else that we're supposed to feel free in. This is one thing that God has shown me in the last couple weeks. We have to position ourselves. Listen to this. Position ourselves to die to ourselves.
Wow.
We have to position ourselves to die to flesh and what I want to feel and what I want to do and what I want to say. We have to position ourselves to listen and be open and willing to receive what God is pouring out. We don't know when the test is coming. Because everything ain't sent from the devil. Some things are sent from God to see. Let's see how you're going to respond and how you're going to stand and how you are going to glorify me. God wants to be seen in it. So in that, in the workplace, I still have to take the light of God with me. I have to show them that this ain't about me. This is about God. And everything that I do when I come to this place is about him. I don't work for the paycheck. I work because even in work, it's ministry.
Amen.
It's ministry. And people need to see the light of God shining through you. So the forgiveness part, I had to forgive. And then, you know, I had to say, I've got to be honest, when, you know, the enemy tried to come in your head, I'm like, nope, Lord, I thank you for grace. Nope, God, I ain't going there. You know, I thank you. You have to, the Holy Spirit will quicken you and say, don't you go there. Continue to forgive. Continue to love. Is that an easy thing? It is when you position yourself to be obedient to God because you want to walk the way he wants you to walk. In the flesh, no, that's not easy. That's not easy at all. My flesh wants to strike back, but my spirit man rises up big in me and says, come on, sis, for God you live and for God you die. So that's it. We have to die. We have to die in the flesh in order to live big in the spirit.
Wow. Well, according to your husband, I didn't say this. This is from Tyrone. You know he said your mama is Jesus' first cousin. So.
First cousin.
But, Sister Roberta, what say ye about this forgive before you pray?
Yes. Teresa said it. Beautifully, you know, one of the things while she was speaking is that you have to remind your flesh. You know, you have to remind it because sometimes it forgets that the scripture says that you've been crucified with Christ. So that means your flesh been crucified with Christ. And he says, but yet you live, but not you live, but the Spirit of God lives through you. The life you now live, you live by the Son of God who died for you. So, in reckoning your flesh, in other words, in telling your flesh that you know what, I know you're feeling this, and I know you want to respond to this, but I have to remind you that you died. And when something dead gets up, it stinks. So I don't want this thinking anymore. I want this new fragrance to come through, which is the Spirit of God. So that's one of the things that we have to constantly, continually reminding ourselves that, you know what, you dead. You used to this is how you normally would have reacted to what's going on in a person hurting you. But the Spirit of God, that I have to die to this and respond to. The way Jesus responded, and his response was, Lord, you say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They are clueless. They're clueless. So actually, you're to have pity on them because they're the ones in trouble. You're not.
Right. That's right. Pastor Chris, you seem like you've had some experience with having to forgive before you went to God in your prayers as well. And you might have had some of them same struggles that I have. How do you fare, Pastor Chris?
Well, if we want honesty, I think
we want
you're on
honesty.
The wrong show. No, I'm kidding. I think this is one of the biggest walls in our relationship with Christ. Forgiveness is a very selfless act. See, when we don't want to do it, when our body feels like we don't want to, when somebody got on our last nerve, when we feel like we're about to go snap, throw the hot grease and grits, you name it. See, the problem is sometimes we haven't with our own bitterness. And you wonder why we react in a defensive posture. See, sometimes we got to look in the mirror at ourselves. See, sometimes things happen to test where we are. Just like Sister Tracy said, it's not always the devil. The devil don't make you do everything. You choose to do stuff. See, he has to get permission in order to attack us. See, people forgot that. See, sometimes guys allow things to happen so we can be stronger in our relationship. Not the religion. Because, see, religion, we know how to mask that up real good. We know how to talk it down real good. But, see, underneath all that, we're still bitter. And we still want to deal with the things with the way we want to deal with it. Because in church, I'm going to hug your neck. I'm going to say, praise God. I'm going to say, I'm blessing highly favor of God. And as soon as you step out the door, we better call security because we got a fight breaking out in the parking lot. See, this is the problem. See, once we understand that sometimes it's our issue that we must tame, in order for us to be truly forgiven with each other, again, we got to look in the mirror. Because if we don't look in the mirror, guess what? It gets worse. And if we don't deal with it ourselves and know how to react to it, all we're going to do is make it worse instead of better. See, I don't want to get started. See, I promised the band I wouldn't get them all hyped up this week. So I'm going to take a bow on this one. So back to you.
So sometimes really what we think is the enemy being evil in our life is God doing us a favor, because that's the only way we can realize what we truly are made of. If
right.
He allows some things on our platform, just like some of us think we're sugar and we're really salt. Some of us think we're sweet and kind, and then he allows somebody to cut us off in the line, and we come out like a roaring lion. And some of us have even said, where'd that come from?
Mm-hmm.
I remember Sister Roberta was with one of our dear sisters, and she said, I believe she said a cuss word. And she screamed right away, ooh, where'd it come from? And Sister Roberta said, out of you. You remember that, Sister Roberta?
Oh, yes. Most of the time, the pressure, when pressure comes, regardless of how it comes, is pushing out what's in. The only thing that can come out is what's inside of you. And that's why you have to remind it of this is actually you. I mean, it's you. This is you who want to cut somebody out. This is you who really hurting. You're not saying that this is not real. The pain is not real. The hurt is not real. This is real. But in reality, you know, as Christians, in reality, are we going to allow the God to live in us, or our flesh to rise up? Because actually, we have been buried with Christ, so we're dead. Are we going to allow the flesh to get up, or are we going to allow the spirit to reign? And in walking, that's what we have to constantly remind ourselves and remembering of what Jesus did. Because most of the time, the thing that we're upset about, we also did it to Christ. You know, we did, and once we realize that, you know what, he forgave me, you know, and why shouldn't I forgive this person? You know, God, give me the strength to forgive this person, because you go through, you know, you're like, hi, wait a minute, I'm saying this again. Well, yes, you're saying it because you know what you're saying, because you've done it. You also, you're guilty of the same thing. And it's like, okay, but, you know, it's a different when I do it to you versus me, you know. That's a difference in sowing and reaping.
Yes, it is.
Sowing is all right, but that reaping, wait a minute. No, I don't want it coming back. I sowed it. I threw it out there, but I wasn't expecting it to come back. You know,
not this fast.
No, not this fast, but when you sow, You sow a seed, but when you reap, all the weeds and stuff that's in the dirt that you sowed come back also.
My.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
good
that's
stuff.
Good right there, Sister Tree. Yeah, all the weeds come in there.
Yes, that the ground you sowed in, had, you know, because everything produces after its own kind, because that dirt has some kinds in there, some seeds in it itself. So when I threw my seed out there, I didn't realize the other seeds that was already in the dirt that's multiplying and going to come back to me.
Wow.
And that's why it hurt so bad, because wait a minute, I didn't do this.
I didn't put that out there.
I didn't put it out there, but you put it in the soil that it was already in. And it came back. So that's why it's important that we have to remind ourselves, and you know, and that's one of the reasons why we have these church hurts and all that, because we're expecting things to go one way. You know, we're expecting, okay, I come to Christ and I done did my little dirt and all that stuff. Now I'm forgiven. I'm clean. Mm-hmm. I'm washed. You know, I'm in the blood and everything's white as snow. But no. There's some things that even you're forgiven, you're white as snow, but that field you sowed in, that heart, you got to harvest it now. You got to pick this stuff. This stuff got to be picked. And who's going to pick it? You have to pick it, but you have to pick it now, realizing that, okay, you know what, God? I'm picking this stuff and I'm releasing it to you. I don't know anybody that ever did field work, but it ain't easy.
No, it ain't easy doing field work, because it's hard and it's hard work.
It's hard work.
And you know what? If you're going to get that harvest out of that field, you got to do the work. You got to put the work in.
You have to put
the work in. Otherwise, your crop going to go to waste, and who's going to plant and not pick?
Right. And you pulling this out, and you what you're doing, you just don't once you get a harvest, you just don't leave the dirt like it is. Now once you pull that harvest, now what you do, you get that dirt and stuff ready for a new harvest. But now the new harvest is gonna plant better seed.
Better. That is good. Yeah, that's good right there. And all of it is work, though. All of it is a commitment, and it's work, because you pick the field, and you ain't done. Although you did that part of the process, now you got to prepare that field for the next year's crop.
Because you continue. It's a continual thing. You know, that's why he says work out your soul salvation. You got to work this thing out. Not just today, but this is a new lifestyle that you got to work out from now on. You're going to have
to feel from
glory to glory, from faith to faith, because what we as believers, we're operating in what faith? We're producing faith. We want to produce the thing that's going to bring forth a new harvest, a better harvest. What the harvest is the kingdom of God, and that's what we do, and that's why when you're going through things, And people are watching you go through, and they say, "Oh, they're gonna break. Oh, they're gonna crack. Oh, they." And then you show the love of, you show forth the Lord. You show forth God.
Because otherwise we wouldn't really get an opportunity to show Him if there was nothing, you know, going on in our lives. So we need those hard times in order to be able to showcase the person that delivered us. So in the body of Christ, we see some things that are preventing us from getting our breakthroughs and getting our prayers answered. And as I analyzed my own life and some of the things that had happened to me, what I found in me was a little girl hidden behind you'll never make it. You know, that doubt and unbelief, it was deep in me, because the message was repeatedly given to me. You will never achieve anything in life. You're not going anywhere in life. And so when you had those messages given to you at an early age of your life, and then God comes to try to tell you you can do all things through Christ, that's a process. That's a process that has to take place, because it's new information. It's new information. It's just like coming out of prison and not being familiar with cell phones. You don't know what to do with a cell phone. You've been in prison for 35 years. When you went in, they had the dial-up. You come out, now you can carry calling in your pocket. That's all new. So what do you feel like, Tree, when you look at the body, and what do you say holds us up in the body of Christ? Is it unforgiveness? Is it bitterness? What do you see holds
holding us back from moving forward in the things of God? I believe it's unforgiveness is one of them. What else do you see that we can address today?
I really believe it's the lack of knowledge.
Okay.
Kind of piggybacking on what you said, if you are told young that you are not something or cannot achieve something, then that goes with you throughout life.
Mm-hmm.
Until you come in contact with someone who teaches you something different. But the root of it is teaching and being taught. It's, children don't come out hating. It's a learned behavior. It's what they see. They emulate what they see in the environment that they are around. So I believe that what has most of the saints stuck is the lack of knowledge. When we surround ourselves, with people that one of my mentors told me a long time ago to always surround yourself with people that have gone through what you are going through and have overcome, because in the overcoming is a lesson to be taught. So that's why the things, we say what you're going through has nothing to do with you, but you go through for other people so that you can teach the lesson. So I really do believe that is the hang up. So if a child in the home is surrounded by love, if they're surrounded by people that help to develop them, then that's something that is instilled in them. That's a seed planted, that has room to grow. Regardless of what seed is planted, it grows. That's what my mom was talking about. That is so important. The seed is going to grow, and there's going to be a harvest from it. So what type of harvest do you want? Do you want something positive or something negative?
Wow.
The root.
So you can actually tell. I believe that school teachers have that ability to be able to tell what kind of home those children come out of when they come into their classroom, depending on what they bring forward, don't you think?
Absolutely. My sister Tammy says the same thing. I can even relate to when I was raising my children as a single parent, and the teachers were able to tell what was going on in my kids what was going on in my house by what they saw in the children. Absolutely.
When you were talking about education, that struck a nerve with me, because a lot of that, like we say, the behaviors that we show forth because of what we've already been told and taught, you have to relearn. You have to relearn all over again. But it's difficult, It's difficult because what happens if you teach me how to ride a bike incorrectly, and then now I've got to learn the correct way to do it, that's like a double struggle, because I'm trying to learn something I don't know how to do, and I'm trying to unlearn what I was taught. So it becomes a struggle. But people who are put in place in the house of God to teach that are anointed and appointed to do that for us. And so that's crucial as well, that we find the right people for the job. A lot of people like to put their application in because it looks like it's a glamorous position. But teaching a person who has been taught wrong, that's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gift. Sister Roberta, what do you see holding us back in the body?
One of the things, too, some of it's just doing. Actually just doing. People are being taught, and there's no excuse for ignorance anymore, because you have all kind of social media. You have all kind of on everything that people can get information from. They have information, but using the information, doing it.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That is real good. That is so true. Because a lot of times that's our excuse for not moving forward. I don't know, but you're right. We can't use that anymore because you can't go anywhere without learning something if it ain't nothing but the wrong thing.
Well, for example, this week we're in a different state, and I'm here with my niece, and she wanted her hair done, she wanted her nails done, she's in a different state. She got on the phone and Googled. She wanted makeup, she Googled, and got the whole weekend, everything she wanted, she got done, just GPS, and went where she wanted to go. So we have all this information. You can Google anything, and also anything, forgiveness, everything is on the website. Everything, you know, you can get all the information. We have a well of wealth, but getting that wealth and doing what you're supposed to do with it. Now she could have had that information and not moved, and she wouldn't have got her makeup nor her hair done. But she had everything. I'm like, wow. And it's the same thing with us and God. You know, when we hear this information, how many times have we heard people talk about forgive? You know, how many times have we heard forgive? How many times have we heard, you know, the right thing to do? When we sit in church and we hear the word of God, we become responsible. And the pastor preaches, and he prays, and he asks God what to preach. God gives him the message. Now, that's why the scripture said, when you have ears, hear. Everybody, they have ears, but they're not hearing with the spirit. So when you begin to hear with the spirit, you begin to act on what you hear, and you begin to believe what you hear, and faith comes. It's a matter of some of it is just they not hearing. People are not hearing. And it's not that it's not out there and not being taught, because he says that we're without excuse. We're without excuse. And we sometimes we get people. I mean, have you ever met a person just wanted to stay where they are?
Yeah.
You know, they'll come to you for help, and they wanted to stay where they were. You know, you give them the information, give them everything, and
that's good right there.
Can you continue to go with, you know, well, you know, this happened to me when I was 6 years old. Well, you 66 now.
Yeah.
You're 66 now. So what we're going to have to, what we have to do is, you know, is procrastinate and say, okay, you know what, I'm ready to be free. I'm ready to walk. You know, what the woman said, I want God. I don't want this. I want God. So I can't have God and this.
Mm-hmm.
So since I'm enjoying this, this keep me, you know, nobody want to come out their comfort zone.
That's true.
You know, I'm comfortable here. So I stay
I know how to handle myself here. But coming over there to that new area, I got to be responsible. And I love you. I know I love that word, responsibility. Nobody wants to take responsibility for their own fate. Yes. I want Tracy to do it for me. That way, if it doesn't work, why aren't you successful? Tracy did it.
You know that right there is good. Me and my mom was recently praying for a friend of mine who was going through some stuff. And every time, you know, she goes through, you and your mom pray for me. You and your mom pray for me. And my mom said something that was so powerful. She said, yeah, but she has to do the work too. You can't rely on, you know, my prayers. You got to do some work. And the Bible clearly says, you know, faith without works is dead. You can't just I believe in your prayer, and you can get a prayer past the ceiling, you know. So yeah, I want you to pray for me. But what are you doing? What work are you putting in to develop yourself? So what mom says is true. We make every excuse, you know, in the world. And another thing we want to do is be the pew Christian, where we go to church on Sunday, we get the word, and I'm covered for the week. No, sis, no. It's a whole lot more that goes into it. You're not going to get to heaven based on what the pastor preached from the pulpit. You're going to get to heaven by the works that you did. What did you do?
to glorify God. What did you do to build the body of Christ?
Because you're right. The pastor's not going to always be there with you when you're standing in need of something. Sometimes you're there by yourself. It's in the midnight hour. What you going to do in the midnight hour if everything relies on the pastor?
Yeah.
The midnight hour, he in the bed asleep. It's you and God.
Yeah, but he has given, he the pastor done what he's supposed to do. His job is to give you the word. Your job is to take what he gives you and work the word.
And apply it. That's right.
And apply it. See, if you don't work it and apply it, it's just that, words. But the word will work if you work it. You have to work the word. And every time you work the word, you increase your faith in trusting and believing God with what you heard. So then you know, faith comes by what? Hearing, as you hear, as you work it. And when I say work it, as you do it, as you apply the word, then faith can, you can grow. You can continue to grow. You know, it's just like you cannot keep eating food and not grow. You can grow. If you eat
you're
going to
grow.
You can grow. And that's your spirit, man. Your spirit, man, will grow as you take the word. And when I say eat it, I mean when the word of God comes and it comes to you, you take it and you study it, you search it, you apply it. When I mean I say apply it, you keep quoting it, you keep speaking it. Faith comes by hearing. You keep speaking it. You keep, you know,
right.
How many people, when their pastor teach, go and search the scripture for themselves? Study that scripture that week till they get to the next week. You know, how many people do that? But that's what
right.
We're supposed to do. When he gives the word, we're supposed to take that word home and eat it. In other words, just like you, three meals a day, if they start doing that, read that scripture that pastor preached three times a day. Just read it. Read it out loud.
Take it like medicine, huh?
Take it like medicine. It's feeding your spirit, man. So we don't, you know, we don't do that. So we all, the pastor, I'm not boring my pastor. It's not working. The pastor ain't, no, you're not working.
So, Roberta, can I interject something right there? A lot of times when we say that in hindsight, it's because we want it instantaneously. We don't want to cook a four-course meal. We just want a burger and fries through the drive-thru. So we go home and we read that scripture one time. And then we say, oh, no, this thing don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But I did my wrong as much as I got an opportunity to do it. And I know wrong worked because I worked it.
You worked it.
I kept doing wrong. And even like the smoking cigarettes. When I first started smoking cigarettes, you know the first time you pick up that cigarette, you ain't going to learn how to inhale and blow circles. I didn't learn all that in one day. I kept at it. That cigarette gave me a headache the first day I did it. It made me swim in the head. But you know what? I wanted to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to learn because I thought that looked so cool.
Yeah.
So what did I do? I go back to it again. So why is it when we come into the body of Christ, we try one scripture for 15 minutes? And if it doesn't work in 15 minutes, we don't pick up the Bible no more. We say it don't work. Just because we don't want it.
Exactly. I mean, if people try that, because I know it worked because I've done it. I would, you know, when Pastor, whatever he teach on, I go home and I keep reading. And I keep reading. And the more I read it, the more I get. Even the things that he said, plus what the Holy Spirit gives to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're increasing your faith and you're increasing your knowledge of God. And then another thing you're doing, when you come and you're ready to receive, when the pastor comes the next week, you're going to pull on him to the place that he's going to be. God got to give him more. Got to give him more to feed you, because you're pulling on his spirit. You're pulling on him. But he got to, you know, it's sad that the pastor got to go through things and almost clean up the kitchen before he can even deliver the meal.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. His job is
that
to deliver
coming from
me.
The chef part of you right there. None of us thought about that. That's the chef in you.
He got to do all
clean up the kitchen before you can cook.
He got to clean up, and all his job is to deliver the meal. He's supposed to deliver the meal. You're supposed to be your job. You're supposed to have all that ready. When you get there, the table's supposed to be set. You ready? You hungry? When he comes with his word on that pool, you ready? Because you ready to receive.
But Roberta, what about the ones of us in the church that's got our mouth closed? We're starving from malnutrition, and the pastor even goes so far to put the food on the fork and come to our mouth and make a, well, you know, they act like an airplane. And it gets in your mouth, and your mouth still closed. What about them people?
Yeah, you know what? Them, there's nothing you can do for them. They just, you know, you can't unless he get a he gotta go and get a
an
IV. an IV feed them through a tube.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way they're gonna get there, because you cannot pry that mouth open and make them. You know, all his job is to deliver the food. He's done his job, and he delivered the food. And, you know, and I believe this would take a burden off of pastors, because pastors feel that burden, like, God, they're not getting it. But it's not their job to make them get it. Your job is to deliver the food.
That's
you
right.
And sad to say, some of the pastors, they're so malnutrition themselves in so many areas, they need somebody to make an airplane in front of them. But because of their position as pastors, they got to keep trying to feed us, but they need to be fed. And many of them don't go and get what they need, but they're steady trying to give us what we need, and we're killing them. And we're not even praying for them, which is our job and our responsibility to pray for leadership. And we're not praying for them because, you know why? We're so busy. I'm hungry. Just like these kids. Mm-hmm. I'm hungry. I just fed you. I'm hungry again. And you know, you study feeding them, and then at the end of the day, you realize, I ain't eat today. No, you're too busy feeding hungry folks. That's eating and pooping and ain't doing nothing with their life.
Mm.
Just full of poop because they done ate all the food. And God is saying we all are responsible. We have leadership. We got to love our leadership enough to pray that they continue to lead as the Spirit gives utterance. And these leaders that are leading with their flesh and their pants and their life and ain't got no God in it, we tearing up the churches getting in them. We can't hardly find a parking place on Sunday because we're going in there to get our ears tickled and our flesh stroked. And the people that are standing for God and got a position in God, we say, oh, I don't like going over there. Why? Because there's order in the house.
But, you know, that has always been, even in Jesus' day. Jesus told him, he said, you're not following me for the word, you're following me for the food. When he was feeding the people.
My Lord.
You know, but he told me something. He said, don't be concerned about that. You just continue to do what you're supposed to do. If you continue to do what you're supposed to do, God's gonna bring the people. He's gonna bring the masses. It might take a while, but if you stand on truth, one thing about truth, it's real, it's genuine, it's pure, and it's not gonna move. And sooner or later, we're all gonna have to come to face with truth. And the word of God is truth, and it's the only thing that's gonna deliver and set us free. So you know, whereas the masses, you know, Jesus only used 12, but he turned the world upside down with the 12. So you know, so. We're hung up on the numbers. We're hung up on the multitude. But it's not about the multitude. It's about the message. The message.
That's
if
true.
If he only have two, the message, you know, but because of our flesh want to see increase. Because real increase, real growth comes from within.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from within. And as you grow on the inside, then it reflects out. Just because you see a multitude doesn't mean the growth is there. But
you're right. Growth occurs in the dark. Mm-hmm. You get up, you go to bed, you look at your plant, and you can't sit up and watch a plant all day long and say, I'm going to see when you grow. You can't see it. But you go to bed, and you look at that plant real good before you go to bed, and you go to bed, and you get up the next morning and say, ooh. That plant grew last night, but you can't see it. It's not something we can watch. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yes, And I heard a pastor said something one time. He was a pastor, and he said he watched the pastor that only had a handful of people in his church. But one of the men that came through his church that received salvation changed the world. He became a massive evangelist. Well, God had him sitting there for that one. And his fruit is coming. His fruit is coming. The one that he saved and went and saved all these other, he got fruit from that also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in the numbers. And that's something that we have to learn. It's not in the numbers.
Right.
It's in the message what God has told you to do. You know.
I heard a preacher say one time, Roberta, that in mega churches, they have lots of members, but they can't move a napkin. You know, they don't have faith. They're not heavy duty Christians as far as being able to operate by faith. But you can go to that little back road church where five members and four of them ain't got no teeth, and they can move mountains because they have the relationship with God. They believe God.
Well, quite as a camp, a lot of them, those mega minister pastors, that's who they go talk to get there, is that little small church or that small pastor, and they listen to his sermon because it's genuine and it's pure.
Mm-hmm.
And they feed off of that. So we, you know, our eyes, you know, we should focus on the Spirit of God instead of the man of God.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So once we focus
on that. Get your stomach hurt.
I'm about to drop a bomb. I'm just waiting for the right time to drop it. See, there's another word that hinders people from opening their mouth to be fed. It's called bitterness. It hardens your heart on the inside and your features on the outside. See, it also makes you look as if that you got it going on, but really it's contagious. See, there is a cure for having bitterness. See, bitterness causes unforgiveness, then causes anger. So how can you love when you have bitterness in your heart? That's one. Mm-hmm. We got to find the cure for bitterness. That's why it's good for a pastor to have some Ensure or a protein shake on standby, because sometimes you might have to go overtime with some of these jokers. I'm just keeping it real. See, you must understand that the only cure for bitterness and anger, here's the other word. It's called forgiveness. We shut it down just right there. See, bitterness is focused on what has been done to who? You. So to break up bitterness, you must also be willing to look at what you have done to others. I said that earlier. Your task is to admit what your responsibilities in the matter or what you've done or who you've caused to hurt. Confess your sin and first seek their forgiveness. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to seek somebody else's forgiveness. They're the ones who hurt me. But see, that's not what the word said. See, you must be willing to get the log out of your own eye prior to examining your neighbors. See, we're so quick to do an examination on somebody else's life, somebody else's walk and talk, but our eye is all messed up and we still got sleeping cold all over it because we can't see straight ourselves. See, the examination process begins at home. We had almost 18 months to do an examination right here at home. But half of us ain't even do that. And you wonder why we're going through another phase right now. See, start with yourself and seek God's help. That's what this whole key is about. You cannot be cured from bitterness or unforgiveness unless you help yourself. And here's another one, and I'm going to leave it alone. Confession of your own sin and repent for that sin must take place in your heart first. So in order for you to walk in love through this pandemic, in order for you to understand that bitterness is the root cause of all of our issues, and we can spoon feed, we can break dance, we can do side tricks, smoke and mirrors. I don't care how powerful your pastor is. But if you are built up with bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, guess what? It ain't nothing going to happen for you unless you look in the mirror yourself. And I'm going to drop the mic right there, and I'm done. Back to you.
Well, it goes back to what Sister Tracy said when we first started. It comes with educating people about what we need to do in order to get past where we are. And a lot of times we don't find that teaching going on in the house because sometimes the teacher himself has the issue. So take responsibility for your life. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, then you go to the author and the finisher of your faith and you say, Lord, I realize I have an issue and I don't know how to help myself. I need you to show me what to do. Again, we have to take responsibility for our own walk with God. And you touched on the next part of that scripture, Pastor Chris, that says, if ye have an ought. That's another thing that prevents longevity in running this race that going on this journey that we've gotten on is these oughts that keep tripping us up. And we find ourselves out of bounds. On the sideline, we go get to the person that's passing out that cup of water, and we camp out there because we can't go any further until we deal with this ceiling that we've hit. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So we're stuck right there because the stubbornness in us and the stupidity in us don't want to deal with forgiving somebody else. And we'll hold ourselves in prison, not forgiving. My father, who has passed away, took the life of my mother. And it was two sisters involved with two brothers. So the sister that ended up raising me, she was married to my dad's biological brother, and she was my mom's biological sister. So she didn't tell me to hate my dad. For taking my mother's life. But all of the ingredients was there to make a cake. All you had to do was put it in the oven. So for 17 years, when my mother was killed, I went to live with her. For 17 years, I worked on pleasing her by hating my father. But for 17 years, inside of me was a longing to know my father and to be his little girl. So it took my deathbed to break that, for me to realize that I had an ought with my dad, that I needed to forgive my dad so I could be forgiven. And that's what I did. When I got on my bed of affliction and the doctors had did what they knew how to do, my mom, who raised me, came to my hospital room, and she said to me, is there something you need to get straight with God? She said, because this don't make no sense. You're not getting any better. When she left my room that day, I went to the Lord in prayer, and he told me that I needed to go and do the process of forgiving my father. So I called my dad. No, I didn't even call him. I just showed up at his house, and I told him I needed to forgive him. When I committed my heart to do that thing with God, I was able to get out of that hospital and go home. And I went to my dad, and I forgave my dad. And I was in my dad's life when he passed away, and I spoke at his funeral.
None of that could have taken place had it not been for God's mercy and grace working in my life to tell me what to do, because no human being was doing that for me. No human being was telling me, Tree and Sister Bert and Sister Pastor Chris, no human being was saying, it's good for you to forgive your daddy. Everybody kind of was like, we understand if you hate your daddy. He took your mama. But that's not God's, that's not how God operates. So those ops hold us back too. Sister Tree, you have any information on that?
I definitely agree with that. And, you know, we as humans, when someone does something to you to hurt you, it's in our sinful nature, you know, fleshly nature, to, as the young people say, feel some type of way, you know,
mm-hmm.
toward them. And and want to be upset and want to hold a grudge.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you a couple of weeks ago, I was the queen of holding a grudge. And God had to truly deliver me from that. because the thing is, most times people don't even realize what they are doing. They're clueless. They're acting out of their natural menu to do something to you or whatever. So they're not educated on the consequences that come with their actions. That's us as people, as humans. You know, we don't really realize what that does to us, because everything done in the natural, in the flesh, affects the spiritual. So you actually you put yourself in a situation where holding, having an ought against somebody prevents or hinders your growth. And it gets to a point when you, you know, are educated on what God wants for you, it gets to a point where you're like, I don't want anything to hinder me. I don't want anything to stop me from getting closer to God. So let's deal with these things. Let's uproot, you know, the things that are in me. Why do I feel the way that I feel? You know, why is it so hard for me to forgive? Why can't I get past this? At the beginning of the show, my mom said something. We get stuck in certain places, even from childhood. You get stuck at, you know, what this person did or did not do for you. And that person goes on because they may be ignorant to what they did, you know, not realizing the impact that it had on your life, but they're free because they don't know. They keep going on, but you're stuck. You can't get past the damage that was done to you. But that comes with growth. You know, I have not always been where I am, and I'm still learning and I'm still growing. And I thank God for that, that I'm not just at a place where I have arrived and I got this in the bag. Absolutely not. You know, every day, every single day, I'm learning more about me. And it's a process to get to the point where you're even open to learn about
mm-hmm.
you. So, yeah, that definitely having an ought, you know, with someone, it stifles your growth. And I think when we get to that point where we're like, I don't want to be stuck here,
mm-hmm.
you're a little more anxious. It kind of puts fire under your feet to want to move forward. How can I get beyond it? You know, once I'm educated, once I know, you know, then how can I get past this? And even in that, we have to realize that is a process, you know,
yep.
because anytime we go to therapy, what happens is they go back to your childhood. And you may be going in there because you just hit, the hammer just hit your nail and you're trying to figure out where this pain coming from. You know where they go back to? Your childhood. They have to go to the root of it, always to the root. To get to, let's talk from there and come forward, you know, to see where you are now. And usually the thing from the past is what has you feeling the pain that you feel in the present.
And most of the time, Sister Tree, we don't even recognize the connection, do we? That our past has to do with our present, because we think we buried that so deep that it can't get up.
Yep. Not until someone, it usually takes a different set of eyes to bring things to the forefront. We have this thing at work called checks and balances. You know, one set of eyes, we call it fresh eyes. One set of eyes looks at it, and I don't see that something is there. I'm blind to that thing that is so obvious to a fresh set of eyes.
That's true.
Comes in and they say, you don't see that right there? And you're like, you've been looking at it for 5 days and you never saw it.
Yep.
So I apply that, you know, even in my spiritual walk. It's so important to have accountability people in your life. People that I can go to and I can say, okay, X, Y, and Z happened. And they can say, because usually when X, Y, and Z happens, you're always pointing the finger at somebody else that did X, Y, and Z. But that set of fresh eyes tells you, well, X, Y, and Z didn't do anything. What you need to be focused on is A, B, and C, which is usually what you did. So it comes back to you. The fresh eyes, it's important to have, I call them the checkers in your life, you know, that can check you, that you know that this person loves you so much that they can check you and show you you. It's not about judgment. It's coming from a place of love where they can show you where this is something you need to work on. This is something you need to go back and revisit.
Wow, that's amazing. And that fresh pair of eyes, I just love that that scenario, because you're right. I have been looking for something can up the house, and somebody can walk in and say, what you looking for? I'm looking for my glasses. They're on your face. So you're absolutely right in what you're saying. Those aughts have hindered us. Sister Roberta, what has been your experience with the aughts?
With the aught, you know, the key that the scripture you read, it says when you have an aught, you know, you when you remember, when it's, you know, it might be 20 years and there's something that brings it back up, and it's called remembrance. It's called you remember, and it's called the Holy Spirit bringing back to your remembers what you need to deal with right now. Before, it might have not been time to deal with it, but now it's time to deal with it, and something stirs up to bring it to surface again. You know, it's so buried so deep. But something happens to bring it to surface. Now it's time to deal with it. So now it's time for you to say, okay, you know, this happened 20 years. You know, the example you gave as your father, and that illness made that surface. It brought it back to when your mother said that, you know, you have something you need to deal with. So that's that bringing it back, bringing it up, you know, making the surface come back. And that's the time that, you know, God allowed you to deal with it. And as believers, you know, we know that God orders our steps. You know, I mean, it's sometimes it's hard. You talk to believers and they don't really believe that, because they think they can get up and do their own thing and when they want to, how they want to. But, you know, God orders your steps. He's in charge, or whether we believe it or not. And it's by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring back, to convict, to correct, to you know, and we need to allow him to do it in our lives and in others' lives. And there's that ought is real. I mean, it's like, whoa, you know, that flesh like to fight, flesh like to get back, the flesh like to retaliate. Cause, you know, you do something to that flesh, it's like, okay, you did that. I'm going to show you. But then the spirit man comes up and say, what? No. This is, and that's what God trying to get us to walk in the spirit, that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's right.
The purpose so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, because we know the lust want to retaliate. The flesh wants its way, because it's used to having its way, and you done told it it's dead. You got to sit down. you can't get up no more. You know, that's just like telling, you know, you tell a child, sit down. What's that child doing? First, jump up. They try want to jump up because that's that flesh. That flesh in us wants to rise. It wants to show its ugly head. It wants to move. But he says that, you know, we won't fulfill that lust. Follow the spirit that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Does it feel good to the flesh? No. Not at all. Not at all. The flesh, it's going to be kicking and screaming. Oh, I need to tell you, you know, it's been times that, you know, I mean, and God teaches, and this is a lifestyle. This is not a one-time thing. This is a lifestyle.
Right, right.
You know, when things come up, you know, I always tell people this. Two things are going to come. You're always going to get two reports. Now, which one are you going to believe?
Uh-oh.
Which one are you going to take? As believers, which one are we going to take? So, you know, we always, you know, on the bus, and you go to a bus, and, you know, you get a kid. What's the first thing he runs? He runs to the dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Because he don't understand that you need those vegetables to grow.
Right. Right. And that's why he has a parent. And too many times, children are parenting the adult.
Exactly. So that's the Holy Spirit is there to be that parent for us. Because we want to run to the dessert.
Mm.
We don't want to go over here to this vegetable of forgiveness, this vegetable of not being bitter, of being angry. We don't want that. We don't want that vegetable. And that vegetable don't taste good. It just don't taste good. You know, I want to go straight to the dessert, sweet and it's good, you know, that cake, that carrot cake, that pudding. You know, this is good, you know. But what is going to do for me on the inside, though?
That's so true.
But that vegetable is going to, the vegetable is what's going to help me grow and develop. These are the things that develop us, you know, that unforgiveness. You lift the word forgive. Ooh, that, I got to raise that up. You forgive. If you want to build that muscle, if you want to be strong, let go of bitterness. How do I let go of bitterness? I got to choose to say, you know what? I got to let this thing go. And most of the bitterness that we hold on to, we don't have to, but, it's that security blanket. This is my
So a lot of our problems are self-inflicted because we don't want to do the process that's been put in place to secure our success. So we want to do what we call a shortcut, because we've gotten on the scene and we feel like there's another way to do this, but it's another way, but it's a God's way.
Come on, I was work. I'm reminded of I was working with a next to a guy every day at work. I worked with him, and he would not talk to nobody. He would speak, and so you know I got the attitude: you don't speak, I'm not speaking. So one day I said, you know what? I'm not going to be working with you like this and you don't talk. Look, we're going to talk. You got to say something. I don't care if you just say, you're going to talk to me, you know. And I started talking to him. And I asked him one day, I said, why you don't talk? Why you don't want to talk? He said, you don't talk to me. What? You don't talk. But he waiting on me. I'm waiting on him.
Wow.
So, you know, when we start doing what we're supposed to do, it opens doors up.
It does.
It opens things up. You know, the incident that we dealt with Brown last week, you know.
Right.
I talked about, you know, it ain't on you. Hey, how you doing? You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You keep on moving. And you watch God do the work. Because God's going
to
do it.
And you said it right. It's not an easy thing to do because you got a war going on inside of you. And I got so mad at myself. I was like, why don't you shut up already? Why do you keep talking? Why do you keep trying to make amends and it's not being reciprocated? And just leave it alone. And I could not shut up. How you doing? Do you want some of this? Wait a minute. But it's God, though. And when God does the work, you stand on the other side when you've gotten through it, and you're so glad that he kept and was adamant with you to help you get through this thing. Like having a baby. I remember having one of my children, and I got tired of pushing. And I ain't care what that doctor say. You can cut my ear if you want to. I ain't pushing no darn mo. And they sent somebody in there that was good for the job. And she came in there and she looked at me. She says, you can do this. And when she said it, she believed it. And I began to believe it because she was operating with me out of faith in me. And she had confidence in me, which a lot of people didn't have. And she began to coach me. Sister Tree, she coached me through childbirth. And if it had not been for God dispatching that angel in that room, I don't know what would have happened. But that's what we need sometimes. We need a righteous coach. When the last time, I like what Tree said a little while ago, she said missed opportunities. How many missed opportunities are we passing by on a daily basis? And I sense God. I'm in my house and I got chills and I ain't, this is God. And how many missed opportunities are we passing by to be a righteous coach? That's an awesome calling. And we're flunking because we're still trying to be stuck on woe is me. And God is saying, if you just do what I'm telling you to do, child, you can get past it. As the folks said outside, girl, if you that's gone on, you'll walk right out of this. Forrest Gump, keep running. I see them shackles on your legs, boy. Keep running. You'll run right out of them. And you'll look back in hindsight, you'll be like, excuse me, radio. Hey, what did I get out of that? That's the kind of God we serve. But if we keep on concentrating on, they hurt me. They did this to me. You ain't going to never get nowhere because you're going to stay stuck on stupid. And as Sister Roberta said, you're going to be pop and dry.
It's like Pastor Chris says, that, you know, the key to it all, he says it all the time, is relationship, your relationship with God. You know, you develop that relationship with God, and your relationship with others are going to grow. Why? Because you're going to obey God in your walk. When you obey, when you do what God says, nothing else matter. You have to say, okay, they don't understand. All right. I wave at you, say hi. You didn't wave back. It's okay. So when I see you tomorrow, I'm going to wave at you again and say hi. And if you never say hi, it's okay because I'm going to do my part. Hey, how you doing? So your relationship with God is the key. You know, I'm doing what God wants me to do, what's pleasing to him. You know, and one of the things, Jesus always said, I came to please the Father. I want to do what my Father do. I want to say what my Father say. I want, you know, his whole focus was on, you know, and he constantly, you know, it was constantly obstacles. It was constantly roadblocks. But he, when the roadblocks, because he had a relationship with the Father, he saw the roadblocks and he just moved on. And that's what we have to learn how to do as believers. We move on. We keep it going. Keep moving. We keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we don't camp out.
We camping out crying, talking about what they did to me. Oh, they hurt my feelings. Oh, they trying to do this. They trying to. Huh? What?
Yeah.
And it's so much bigger than us, though.
It's so much bigger than us. You can't wear your feelings on the outside. You got to be like a duck. Let the water roll off and keep on moving. Keep on moving.
That's good, because if what we are doing is contingent on the person's response, then our motives are wrong from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Our motives are totally wrong. We're supposed to be doing it because it's right.
Oh, good.
It's not about their response. So even if with having an alt with a brother, if you go to him or her and you say, you know, I forgive you and I ask you to forgive. If they don't, if they're not receptive, that we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that has nothing to do with you. That's on them. You've done your part. So it can't be what we do can be contingent on a response from people. That's not what we're there for. And if so, that's a show.
Right.
And we're not there for a show. We're there to live a righteous life unto God.
Amen.
Because even when
that last part of that scripture says a lot too, guys. It says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. That's a big ticket item. That's like that's like a decision to go make buy a car or a house. It, for me to choose not to forgive you, knowing that means I won't be forgiven by God. Wait a minute. Hold on.
How you said forgive, Lord? Give me another chance at this, because that's too much. Like I say a lot of times, what we doing here? What we going to do? No, we got to forgive. I need help. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need help. I'm willing to move forward. I'm willing to forgive because I don't want to go to hell.
Amen. And I remember God told me one time, I was dealing with forgiveness with somebody, and he was telling me forgive them, and I was like, I told God, I said, well, they don't deserve it. You know what he told me? He said, neither did you.
You don't even. Neither did you.
You didn't deserve my forgiveness, but I forgave you. Mm-hmm. So forgiveness is not on what I deserve.
Right.
What God did for me. And the other person's forgiveness is not on what they did. It's what you're willing to forgive because of what God did for you.
Yes, yes. Hey, guys, I understand we have callers, and we definitely want to go to our callers on today.
Yes, ma'am. Well, all right, callers, it's that time, so we will read the last four digits of your phone number. If you're just listening, just say just listening or pass, and we will go to the next caller. First up, 1350. 1350, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Can you all hear me? I hear you not, Tammy.
Hey. Y'all are wide open. Y'all are wide open on this topic. So I got a little bit of a lot to say. I know it's an oxymoron, but just to help us out, you started off with Mark 11:24, but however, going on to this topic of forgiveness, you cannot start with 24 and not read 23. 23
well,
is
read
the mountain.
Then.
Yeah. Well, okay, since you asking, thank you. We read it for you to help us understand completely of how to really walk into this forgiveness thing. So it says here, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, forgiveness, anger, bitterness, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that these things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. So a lot of times as Christians, as non-believers, we speak it, but our heart don't agree with what we said. So once we begin to abide that knowledge of what is in our heart, then we're able to move forward and move on with the process. That's why when you're such a child and you're remembering those things of childhood past, that as you begin to go into those adolescent years, adult years, and even geriatric years, you're still battling it because your mouth said it, but your heart didn't believe it. So that's what stops the believer. But that is everything of what y'all said, because without that application of applying it to your heart, then that's what God works on. I work on the heart of things. What is in your heart is what I want to see. So now we need to ask God, give me open heart surgery. Now that I can go in and fulfill what you are calling me to do, that I can go and walk in this love, that I can go and walk in this forgiveness, that I can go and help that other one that was bitter, help that other one that was angry for whatever it was. So God bless y'all. Thank you for opening this topic. Continue to reach the world.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. Thank you, Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones. Lord Jesus. You know, you done changed their diapers, and you thank your Norm, and then they open their mouth. You be like, "Golly, come on here now."
Yeah, she had the band going. See, I tried to stop her. She had the band going. See, we was being good. It's always somebody.
Always
a caller or one of y'all that like to stick the band,
start that band
in the
up.
Corner and get us all started. Sister Tammy,
and she's just the first caller. Ain't no telling what else we got.
Uh-oh.
Who we got up there, Pastor Chris?
Next Lord, caller, 7122. 7122, you are live on the air. God bless you.
This is Jeanette. I'm just listening. Thank you for calling, for listening, Jeanette.
Thank you. Thank you. Next caller, 5198. 5198, you are live on the air. God bless you.
5198, would you like to speak today? Do you have your phone on mute? This is a new call. I've never seen this number.
All right, we'll put you back on mute. We appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. Next caller, 2985. 2985. We know who this is. God bless you.
God bless all of you. I've certainly been fed today. The feast of the Lord is going on. This is a hot topic, hot station, righteous, full of the things of God. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for Teresa. She said the main thing. She was tested and tried.
Mm-hmm.
That love
mm-hmm.
in you is going to be tested and tried. I thought about Job's life, that righteous, upright man. He was tested and tried. And I thank God for those of us that are ready, those of us that heard the word, has the word in us, ready to do the word, humble, and yet have died to self or dying to self. It's
mm-hmm.
a daily walk. It's a
yes,
daily
it is.
Walk. And everything comes back to what Pastor Chris always said, and you guys repeated it over and over on today. It's about your relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Lorraine asked the question. Minister Brown asked the question, what holds us back or what stops
mm-hmm.
us?
Mm-hmm.
What can you do that's right to move you forward without the true word of God and without the
mm-hmm.
spirit of God?
Amen.
It comes to nothing, and you stay stuck. But with
yep.
the Spirit, there is freedom. With the Word, there is truth and knowledge. And thank God for wisdom. I thank God
mm-hmm.
had faith, and everything you guys can put on that buffet, it was there today. God bless you. Keep up the good work. I just love every one of you all for just speaking truth and allowing God to speak through you, that the flesh
Amen.
Can rise up. God bless you.
God bless you, Sister Ruby. Thank you for being one of our faithful and true callers. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. I'd be running. And Pastor Chris, I wanted to say this. I didn't hear what you said because at the time you started talking, my phone just cut right off. And
oh.
I had a time getting back on this line. I don't know what
Uh-oh.
You said, but I know it must have been for me because I got cut right off. So if you can go back and refresh what that was, because I said, oh, Lord, I didn't hear what he said. So I would
yeah.
love to hear what Pastor Chris had to say right after Teresa shared her testimony when you guys was in the first portion, and then they called on you, Pastor Chris.
He young, but he ain't that young. This movie. You might have missed that one. Can
really
you remember Pastor Chris?
I missed it because he always no. leaves. He always leaves wisdom in the words that he speaks, and he always leaves a thought for you to think on, to search your heart, and find out
Amen.
Where you are with the words he spake. So I didn't want to miss that, and I missed that today. But I'm gonna believe God is gonna bring it back some way and somehow. God bless you
yes,
guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, I usually let the Spirit speak for me, so because if you leave it to me, I'm gonna mess it up. So, you know, you probably gonna have to listen to the replay on Facebook because unless he brings it to me towards the
Amen.
End of the show. But just being
yeah.
honest. But God bless you. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Next caller, 4147. 4147. You are live on the air. God bless you.
Hey, how you doing? Just was going to say that the reason why people have trouble in the body of Christ is because relationship requires sacrifice. And Jesus told us that we would have to be willing to lose our life. So people don't want to lose their life. They don't want to look within, and they don't want to read the scripture for themselves. They rely only on what they get from devotionals or from a teacher or a pastor instead of actually seeking God themselves. So until people choose to seek him for themselves, not just for his blessings, then the body won't be the body, because you can't be a disciple unless you learn from the teacher. Have a blessed day.
You Amen. Too, sir. That was good.
That was truth right there. Yeah, we like to do microwave faith stuff, and we like to
do
our little
And we don't want to die. He
template.
Said that too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Our pride, arrogance gets in the way of our progress. Oh,
yeah, that was good talk.
All right. 6015, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Lucia Priest is just listening.
Thank you for listening, Sister Lucia. Love you much.
Amen, amen. All right. Next caller. We know who this is. 1221. 1221. You are live. You are live.
Pitbull. Pitbull.
Good afternoon. I am riding home. And first, I'm going to start with my praise report. I went to that child store. Ready for a fight, but not really, because my mom prayed, and everything worked in my favor. They credited me back for an item that I purchased that they sold the wrong thing, and I am super excited because that was going to set me back in my budget, but they credited the tile, and I got to repurchase what I needed, and it was the exact same total, dollar for dollar. I didn't spend a dime. So, pretty excited about that, but I wanted to tell you guys, so I've been listening for a good part of the show today. And for some of the topics that y'all have talked about, I've been able to just jump in and speak and, you know, felt like I had something to add. For this topic, I felt challenged more than I felt like I could add. This has caused me to really reflect on things that I needed to work on. And I kind of hinted to that last week, that I realized that I had forgiven quite a bit, but I still had quite a bit that needed to be forgiven. So I've worked over the last couple of weeks, and I've pondered and I've had conversations with God about this whole topic. And I kind of talked to God like I talked to family. I asked the question, like, Lord, why does it seem like what has been dealt to me started at a young age, and I've been constantly put in situations where I needed to be a forgiver for things that happened to me that should not have happened to me. And every time the story was the same, you need to forgive. But that hurt. Oh, but that hurt even a little bit more. And that hurt even a little bit more. And the story was still, you need to forgive. And I kept asking God, well, why do I have to forgive? Why is it always me? And Bert kind of alluded to it earlier where I said, well, I don't want to forgive. They don't deserve my forgiveness. And it dawned on me that one of the reasons why forgiveness is so hard is because the process of forgiving is harder than the process of just staying angry. So in order for me to forgive, the steps that I need to take and how that feels for me is much harder than me just sitting here being mad and chasing blame and playing victim. I can remember a time when I was in the grocery store with my family. We were laughing, joking, and having what I would consider to be a good grocery store trip. And then I saw a person, and that fight in me that some of you are familiar with rose up. And I tried to mask it because I had my son with me, but I obviously did a bad job because he checked in with me. Ma, what's wrong with you? What just happened? And I said, what are you talking about? You know, I tried to play it off. He said, what just happened? And I said, nothing. So we turned a couple aisles, and he got in my face, and he said, what happened? And I said, I saw someone. It triggered me. It made me angry. I'm trying to deal. And he was like, well, you need to hurry up and deal with it. You can't let somebody else ruin your day. And what he did was repeat my words back to me and punch me in the face with them. And in that moment, I had to make a decision whether I was going to stay angry and set a bad example for my son, or if I was going to do the very thing that I had been telling him. for years and years and years. Somebody can upset you. They can do what they want, but it's up to you to do the right thing. And I had to fix my confidence in that moment. My whole mood has to be fixed in order to set the right example for my son. And I think about that and how hard it was in that one instance for me to fix my mood, my face, and to be able to leave that store and not allow what I saw to affect what was happening in that moment. And then I think about the last couple of weeks, how I've been triggered extra. And I know it's because we're talking about unforgiveness on the show, and I know it's because we have to reveal the things that I need to work on. So all week long, I have been triggered, and I have had to do the very thing I challenged y'all to do last week, which is to remember scripture. God told me this week, to whom much is given, much is required. You've been challenged all your life, but look around. To whom much is given, much is required. He also told me this week, in the midst of my triggers and being frustrated, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Wow.
So that's what I'm doing. This week, as I experience my triggers and I'm reminded of the people and the situations that I need to forgive, and I have to keep putting myself in the right mind frame to deal with every one of those people that I have not forgiven, he kept telling me, to whom much is given, much is required, and to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So that's what I leave y'all with today. As we approach the end, I'm still using my scriptures and what I hear from the Lord to push me forward towards forgiveness. I also think that one of the things I did when I left home today, headed to what I thought would be a hard thing. I thought they were not going to give me my money back today in the store. And my mom prayed this week. And I'll tell you what happens when my mom prays. Her prayers go well beyond the ceiling. They go right to the ears of God. And I already think that I'm God's favorite anyway. Because 9 times out of 10, when I really go to him and I have an issue, he irons it out for me real fast. So I know that I'm favored. That's not even a question. But when my mom prays, I don't even worry. So Mayo asked me, my husband, when I left this morning, you wearing combat boots? I said, no, babe, I'm wearing sandals. I'm not going to have to fight this week. He said, you seem pretty confident. I said, I am pretty confident. My mom prayed, too. In addition to my prayer, my mom prayed. And my husband was like, oh, okay. You have fun, babe. I don't need to go. Because he already know. We've had this conversation for years. So I'm just excited that, yes, I have to deal with my unforgiveness, but my obedience in this situation that's extremely hard for me is why I didn't have to worry today. And all my little coins came back because he favors me and he likes it when we are obedient in the hard things. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, see, I try.
Now, Chris, we might have to let that band go. I got to do my housekeeping after we get through these callers, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know because this is the second time the band tried to get loose. See, Pitbull tried to come with the quarterback sneak. And then the other one, Tammy, she unlit the fire on the pallet. So I don't know how long I can keep this band from at bay, but we got 3 more callers to get through. So next
these
caller.
These children are out of control on the buffet today. You know what this feels like? I got to hear him say this. This feels like, you know how you take your children into the buffet and you got about 5 or 6 of them and they scatter on you? And you're trying to round them up. These children is in the buffet. They got candy corn in their pocket. I don't know, Pastor Chris. I don't know. Sister Roberta, do you hear our children? The ones that made us cry? That gang member just got through. I ain't supposed to say that on the radio. Okay, come on. Pastor Chris, give us another call if I tell Tiana was a gang member and Tammy used to fight everybody have them bleed. Come on.
Next caller, 9264. 9264, you are live on the air. God bless you.
9264, you're welcome to speak. If you have your phone on mute, please unmute it. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
Going once, going twice. Thank you so much for calling. I'll put you back on mute. Next caller, 4042. 4042, you are live on the air. God bless you.
I'm just listening on the call. You guys are doing amazing. Thank you for the words.
Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Thank you so much for calling in. Last caller, 3410. 3410, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Just want to say thank you all for being real. Thank you for the word. And I can relate to what you all are talking about. And it gives me an insight on my life as to what I can do to improve myself in dealing with some issues in my life. So you guys just keep doing what you're doing and love you all.
Thank you, Sister Margie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. All right, back to you.
Sister Tracy, Sister Roberta, Pastor Chris, again, this has been an amazing time with you guys. I thank you all for coming aboard every week, and we're just growing together. I see us, we came in with as some roses with some thorns on us, and I see us every week, God, transforming even our own very lives, and I see us becoming a bouquet. And I just love it, love it, love it. And those that are resisting the most, you are being such a blessing, and I'm just blessed by your presence. I want to do our housekeeping right quick because I want to always honor these ladies that are listening to us. I won't give their ages because, you know, I'm 62 and I don't mind saying that, but sometimes people do have issue with giving their ages. But we have Alice Fields. We want to recognize her. Sister Dorothy Curry, her two caretakers, Shirley Allen and Sister Lucille Priester. Sister Ella Priester, her two caretakers, Sister Leola Priester, Sister Josie Priester, Sister Leola Priester Cowyer, that's her married name. And Sister Earthly Aaron, her two caretakers, Sister Edna Moore and Sister Jeanette Pontoon, who from time to time will share her name, her and Sister Lucille. We love you to pieces. Hey, guys, what I'm going to do, Sister Tracy, I'd like for you to give your final takeaway. Sister Tracy is sister to Tammy. Roberta is mother to Tammy. Our girls, our children are growing up on us, Sister Tracy, and it's just amazing to see God work in their lives. Sister Tracy, your final thoughts and your takeaway on today, love to hear it.
Amen. The callers truly were a blessing. And the young man who spoke was my cousin Todd. He listens in from time to time. He's always texting me saying, hey, this is another. I'm like, look, you speak up at the end of the day. And I thank him for that. I thank him for just giving those golden nuggets. You know, sometimes we have things in us. And when we share with other people, it's so freeing. And it's wonderful to see men in the body of Christ, you know, contributing to the growth. So I'm thankful for that. But I just want to say today was truly a blessing. I'm always blessed when I come on here. And, you know, I my sole desire is to please God. And I want to be more like him. I was sharing with my mother yesterday. I want people to see the God in me and be attracted to the God in me. So whatever things in me that are not like God, Lord, remove them. You know, I don't want to be upset with people. I don't want to hurt people. I want to be able to show God's love. It's truly a process. I'm a giver by nature. I'm a nurturer by nature. So I want to always try to help people come up, to develop them, you know. And a part of that is being a farmer. And that's what God gave me when my mom was talking about sowing seeds and that we get back, you know, what we give out. And the Holy Spirit just led me to look up, you know, what is a farmer or the purpose for a farmer. And the purpose for a farmer is to produce a good crop. And then they are responsible for the crops and for helping others. So feeding people with the crop. And when we apply that to our lives, we're farmers. What are you doing in your field? Who are you affecting in your field?
and the crops and the seeds that you, the seeds that you are sowing, is that going to produce good fruit? Is it going to help people grow? Or is it going to produce something that is going to kill? You know, that's not what we want. We want to pluck up the weeds. And we want to cultivate the land so that the field is good ground. So we have to be, if there's anything that I want to share and to challenge people, as Sister Tiana said for the week, is what are you planting in your field? And is God pleased with your farming?
Amen. Thank you, Sister Tracy. You've said quite a few things on the buffet, served quite a few things on the buffet today that has really richly and blessed my life as well. And I'm just happy that we're all here together serving this meal. Pastor Chris, what's your takeaway today? And when you're done, we'll give it to Roberta. When she's done, if we have time, you can go out with a song. But Pastor Chris, what's your takeaway on today?
Well, I'm going to make it short and sweet because we have to understand the bitter heart. If we have bitterness that's unresolved, unforgiveness, anger, and resentment, the result of anger changing from an experience to a belief, it ends up becoming a part of who you are. If you do not allow the relationship with Christ to crack through your bitterness, and it'll carry from year to year, stage to stage, next thing you know, you old and bitter. Why would you put yourself through that situation? In order for you to be happy and older, get rid of the bitterness out of your life. Why would anyone come see grandmama and she always bitter? We all had one. I had grandma too. Everything. She's so bitter. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, you this. Oh, boy, that. See, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, and I'm reading from the New Life Standard, watch out that no bitter root of unbelief rises up among you. For whenever it springs up, many are corrupted by its poison. Look around, do a self-check, constantly pull out those weeds, and you'll be fine in your relationship with Christ. And I'm done. Sister Roberta, you have the floor.
That was awesome. My takeaway is for this week, I just challenge everyone to find one scripture, read it, study it, eat it, digest, just take it into heart and allow the Spirit of God to move you this week with one scripture, just one scripture. That's my takeaway. I just think, everything's been said. If we just marinate on what we've gotten today, I have been fed. I've had vegetables. I've had protein. I've had meat. I've had everything, dessert. And now Pastor Chris, he just summed it up with a great big glass of tea. Have a blessed week.
Amen. Well, we might as well dance it off. So here we go. We'll see you next Saturday. Get your praise break on. Let's go. This is Saturday's Buffet. We love you. See you next Saturday.
Somebody give God a praise. It's already
and leap. Give God an ordinary run. Give God an ordinary jump. In order for you to see what you never see, you gotta do something you never done. I dare you to give God a praise you never gave him. And watch God move in your life. Somebody put your hand together.
TPV Radio, Central Texas.